You are listening to the Two Dap Yanks podcast. I am your host, Chad Smith, coming to you from the Mile High Two Dap Yanks studios. Greetings to you, wherever you may be. And just off his online sniping campaign. Sorry, not snapping. He's snapping at the sniping. Trust me.
Yeah, Mr. Corey controls. The freaking controls, man. They weren't listening to me, so I was getting aggravated. That's what I just realized as we're coming on air. It's like, I think I'm dehydrated because I got a little bit of a headache, but nobody cares, so let's go.
That's right, Corey. We've got a lot to talk about.
The ref's waving play on. So
play on, that's right. Mike Dean is doing some crazy dance to wave play on.
The Mike Dean wave on.
So welcome to the show, boys and girls. There's a lot to talk about. We got the Manchester Derby. We got the Merseyside Derby and a host of other topics, but we'll get right into it, Corey.
All right.
The number one thing to me is after a long, well, not a long layoff, but it's back now. It's official. Manchester Schadenfreude is back.
Yes, especially the we now have the extra special reserve brand. When it's Jose, it's like a pizza with extra cheese, Manchester Schadenfreude with extra Jose, Mourinho.
Yes. Or Borinho.
Either one. And it's an extra special batch of Schadenfreude when he's moaning about things.
So your final score from Old Trafford, Manchester City 2. Manchester United 1, and let's talk about the on-the-field action first before we move into the other stuff. Your initial goal was by David Silva at the 43rd minute, but then Manchester United answered right back right before halftime on Marcus Rashford in the 46th minute to make it 1-1 at halftime. City scored in the 54th minute through Otamendi, which I do not recall. It must have been a corner. He scored, or a set piece of some sort.
Yeah, it was a corner that Man United failed to clear. Lukaku basically bounced it off of somebody, and the ball fell to Otamendi, and he slammed it home.
Oh, there we go, yes. And Lukaku had a poor game. Rated by who scored, I'm looking at right now, 5.5, mainly because of the defensive error they marked him down with, an error that led to a goal, but he also missed a sitter late in the game. Great double save by Ederson off of, I think it was Lukaku. And then I forgot who came up with the follow-up. It might have been Herrera.
Yeah, I already forgot as well.
Doesn't matter, but yeah, a great double save. And Ederson had the throat save. That might have been on the same series. Was that part of the throat save, or was that a different save?
I don't recall that either. I was, like I said, a lot of this, I was in and out of post-early morning nap. In the first half and the second half, I was busy chuckling at a lot of things. So I don't remember details. I was busy chuckling at the Man U incompetence.
All right. So we all thought that Manchester United would bunker it down. And in fact, I'm surprised they didn't bunker it down more. So for the way they played, I thought Jose was actually pretty brave for him.
Yeah, because when I was fully awake for the last 25 minutes or so, it was seemed to be fairly end-to-end, which, generally Jose does not like to get involved with. Jose's kind of like Pat Riley. He doesn't want to, he didn't want to get into those fast break back and forth, end-to-end games.
Yeah, possession was dominated by City, as you could imagine, 64% to 35%. They were really accurate with their passes at 83. Manchester United only at 68% passing. Shots 14-8. In favor of City, and the tackles were flying in. 22 tackles by Manchester United, 18 by City. So it did have that derby flavor.
Yeah, and what David Silva had basically for him, two crunching tackles in about a span of 5 seconds, which included one scissoring down of somebody I already forgot. And because that's what kind of woke me up, because it's always amusing when Old Trafford's bitching and moaning about crunching tackles, considering Paul Scholes between Scholes and Kane. You know, they basically dirty tackled their way to titles for a decade. Oh, I'm sorry. Slightly late challenges.
Slightly late. There we go.
Yeah, not dirty. Not late. Slightly mistimed.
Oh, okay. Sure. Back in the good old days, right?
When men were men. Back when you could let them know you were there.
So City with this win. So let's just get into a little big picture here before we.
Yeah, what, they got like 28 wins in 16 games or something crazy?
That's ridiculous. Well, yeah, and maybe in all comps, but in this season, they're 15-1. 15 wins, one draw for a total of 46 points. Listen to this. This is crazy. They're at plus 37 goal differential through 16 games.
Yeah, what? So they're only, what, they can't average 3 goals a win?
Yeah, no, yeah. Yeah, they suck.
Freaking underachievers. I thought Pep invented modern football.
That's right. And so now they are 11 points ahead of Manchester United. And I didn't see this yesterday, but in The Guardian, they're reporting quotes from Mourinho saying that he's conceded the title already, which it's one thing for you and I to say it, and we have said it, and we'll say it again today. But for Mourinho to concede the title already, do you think he really believes that, or is it just more of his, you know, his patented mind games, his mind tricks?
Yes and yes.
Yes and yes. Short and concise.
Yeah, I think he does believe it, but I think he's still going to, you know, he's going to play it off as mind games. Or somebody's going to try and play it off as mind games because, you know, that's once you do something, some people are always, you know, well, that's what he's always doing. If that makes sense, maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. But, yeah, I think he knows he's beat.
Okay. And so City also, I do believe, was this their 14th win in a row or 15th?
14th. They broke the record. 14th.
So they broke it's the top flight English record or just the Premier League record? I always get confused when they speak about this.
Both.
It's both. Okay. So they've set the record.
Because both the EPL and the top flight record were 13.
Okay. So they've set the record at 14. Let's see if they could add to that. I know that we have some midweek games this week. Let's see who they have on the old schedule. So we got games tomorrow, boys and girls. We got 3 matches, so don't forget to miss that. They're on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, we do have a full set of matches, and Manchester City will be traveling to Swansea, which is good for them because I do believe Swansea are in the relegation zone, second to last on 12 points. So you would think it would be a comfortable win again. So they're just going to keep adding to this total. Pep has really figured this out after not really struggling last year, but you could tell that he couldn't quite get a handle on the league. Now he has, but at the same time, he's done it with basically an all-star team. So how much credit does he really deserve? I don't know, but he has. Obviously, he's done about as well as he can do.
Yeah, and the plan still has to be executed, so... I don't want to begrudge the man his accomplishments just because he's got a lot of players or a lot of good players because, you know, matches still have to be played. Egos still have to be satiated and fit into the system. So it's not, you know, not every team wins 14 out of 15. Otherwise, it would happen every year.
Yeah. It's not plug and play, believe it or not.
Yeah. Same thing, you know. If it was easy to go defeatless, you know, shall we say, rather than undefeated, since, you know, everybody wants to boohoo about, well, Arsenal drew 12 times when they were invincible. Still, it's only been done, you know, 3 times. If it was easy, everybody would do it. So same thing. If it was easy to win 14 out of 15 games, it would happen more often other than, you know, the likes of Benfica and Steaua Bucharest and super top-heavy leagues.
Okay. So the question here is, if somehow Manchester City can get to the festive fixtures, which I would say we're in the middle of right now, or we're at the start of, not the middle, Do you think that they have a chance to go undefeated for the season? Or defeatless? I like defeatless better.
Yes, but they won't, because Pep will – I don't think Pep – because, again, that's a record. That's not really a – it's a record. It's an honor. It's an accolade. I don't think Pep really cares. So I think if they were – the players would have to want to do it rather than the manager, because I think – he would, you know, if he clinches the title by March, you know, mathematically, I think he would start rotating in youngsters, and I don't think he would much care about the record, to be honest.
Yeah, and then at that point, focus on the FA Cup, but they're still in it, and then the Champions League knockout rounds were just drawn today.
Yeah, and like I said, it's just a record, and obviously I talk about it being an Arsenal fan, but it's more of a thing because it's just kind of fun to throw back at people when they boohoo about the fourth place crap and, you know, being one of the only undefeated teams. It's just something that you know, just throw back more just to kind of shut people up than really caring about it in the long term. I mean, yeah, it's a nice accomplishment, but that's what it is. It's an accomplishment, you know. Because I don't know if the EPL would they award another golden trophy if somebody does it again?
Yeah, I was just about to ask that. you beat me to it.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe if they come out and say that, maybe that'll have a factor in it. But honestly, I don't think that's in – like I said, I think Pep would be more concerned with blood and younger players in at that point.
All right, now let's get to the post-match situation. Now, you and I were talking at the end of this match, and it was pretty funny. I opined late in the match that I hope that Pep decides to go Redmond on Zlatan, because I think that would be pretty interesting. Thankfully for him, he did not do that. But you made a point before the end of the match, and what was that point, Corey?
That I hope they keep the cameras rolling, because the way Man U was tackling, I had a feeling that there was going to be a little fracas, a little brouhaha at the end, because that's what kind of like Bama over here, whenever people are so used to winning and they feel entitled to it and they don't win, especially in a big match, they start bitching and moaning and throwing punches and, you know, causing a ruckus because, you know, for all the talk of the big club in the world, they're forever 8 years old in their head. So I just had a feeling that they were going to start a fracas, and that's pretty much what happened.
Yeah, so, but on the surface, everything seemed right. Mourinho and Pep, I think, hugged each other, really, at the end of the match. Everybody went to the tunnel. We saw nothing on TV. It wasn't until I was on Twitter, maybe about a good 10 hours later, maybe not 10, maybe 8, but it doesn't matter, that I saw that there was a bust up in the tunnel. So there was a fracas because the noisy neighbors of Manchester City, Corey, were being too noisy. Oh, now let me read a couple things from an article from the Guardian. Yeah, allegedly. Here we go. Here's the opening paragraph from an article entitled "Jose Mourinho and Post-Match Fracas over Manchester City's Noisy," in quotes, "celebrations." Okay. Police officers and stewards had to separate up to 20 players and members of staff from Manchester United and City after an extraordinary bust-up in which bottles and punches were thrown, and Michael Arteta, one of Pep Guardiola's assistants, was left with blood streaming down his face. Okay, so you read more of this article, and you go blah, 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 and let me see. Oh, wow, I didn't know they did this in here. Can you do this in the American media? Have you ever seen them print the F word?
As
a quote?
Yeah, they usually start out even as
a
quote.
Yeah, they do, but here I just caught this. I'm reading this the second time. I don't think this was in here yesterday. Mourinho allegedly, so this is what happened. So Mourinho was about to go to his, he was complaining to the referees in the referees' dressing room, as he always does. And he heard what he considered to be music that was too loud coming from the Manchester City locker room. And he went over there to have him turn it down. And he supposedly or said, "You fucking show us some respect. Who are you?" I'm just saying this. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was to Ederson, but
it was, yes, to Ederson, who was Ederson was the first player he ran into on his way into the Manchester City locker room.
Yeah, so yesterday I'm pretty sure it was start out.
Okay. Yeah, I just saw it now. I'm like, holy moly, they didn't I've never seen it printed. So they were incensed over the music, thought it was disrespectful. So the noisy neighbors, Corey, were actually being too noisy. And well, I mean, other things, there's reports that people threw bottles at Mourinho. Mourinho got a glass of milk thrown at him. Who knows? I don't know. It's
But see, there again, it's one of these things where, I don't know, maybe I'm different than other people. It's disrespectful. Yeah, it is. Now go fucking back to your own locker room. If you don't like it, win the fucking game, prick boy.
There's that too.
Yeah, it is disrespectful. Guess what? Tough shit.
Yeah. I'm trying to find.
I'm sure you'll, you know, make some sort of stupid arrangements where the locker room is all shitty the next time we visit, you know? But until then, yeah, it's disrespectful. Piss off while we, you know, in fact, that's the kind of stuff. Okay, yeah, afterwards, everybody just take a big dump
Jeez.
And then not flush it. There's your disrespect.
Now, here we go. Now, this is the great thing, too, that I know you invoked this before I told you about it when I was reading this article. It says, early accounts indicate it was a much more serious incident than the infamous Battle of the Buffet, in quotes, in 2004, when Arsenal were opponents and Sir Alex Ferguson was hit by flying pizza slices.
Yeah, and that was the match where they basically spent 90 minutes, you know, trying to kick Jose Reyes off the pitch. And then, you know, when we bitch and moan about it, there again, it's one of those, oh, well, if you don't like it, you got to get tougher. Okay, well, we'll throw pizza. You know, Seth chucks a couple of pieces of pizza at Ferguson. It hits him, and all of a sudden, oh, he's all aggrieved, you know? Just like everything else. Oh, he's a big, tough guy. And then when somebody fights back, oh, he's a little dainty fairy.
Okay, they've definitely changed this article now that I'm reading it. They've added stuff and they've deleted some other paragraphs. Because I remember in here they had some quotes. Like I told you, I forget the word. It wasn't incensed. Let me see if I can find it by scrolling back here. But yes, Pizzagate is invoked.
Yeah, the original Pizzagate.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, see, they changed the article. But the original article said this. It said, and this was a quote, United thought the City locker room music was, in quotes, provocatively loud. Biggest club in the world. Don't play your music too loud.
Yeah.
Disrespectful.
You have to show us respect in defeat. It's like, you know, it's like when people invoke the, oh, well, if you're going to argue emotionally, I'm not going to argue back because you're getting emotional. Oh, yeah, because I'm beating you both on logic and feelings. You know?
There we go.
Like, so, I'm going to invoke respect because we lost and I'm trying to win some points.
So this is the beginning of the end, I do believe. It's the end of Manchester United's title run. And I believe it is going to be the end of Mourinho. I don't think he'll make it through I don't think he'll come back next year.
I mean, City won the title 2 weeks ago, much less yesterday.
Yeah. So it's interesting. We'll see what happens. It's possible, right? These fixtures here coming thick and fast, as they like to say, may change the thing. There could be more storylines or whatever other rubbish lines they like to say.
Yeah, but what was I telling you yesterday? City would have to lose like 8 of the next 20 matches before somebody even basically has a decent chance of actually winning the title because everybody else is going to drop points.
Yeah, you'd have to go on like a 12-game winning streak.
That's what I'm saying. They would have to lose 8 of 20 before even remotely having a chance, much less, before everybody else loses 4 or 5 matches on top of that.
That's right. So, all right, there we go. So there's your Manchester Derby. I think it was is that the first one of the season? So we got one more.
Yes.
Back at City, which could be very interesting. I hope it's at like near the end of the year, and then I hope City clinches against them. That'd be hilarious. I can imagine how Mourinho would act. But that's going to be a game to really watch.
Sure, they. I hope Man U wins and they play their music provocatively loud and City will just, you know, polish the trophy.
Yeah.
wave at them on the way out.
All right. Elsewhere, we had the Merseyside Derby, which I did not actually watch because I was sleeping.
Yeah, I didn't really watch that either. That was, I'd just gotten home from Finn's and I took a nap.
Which is fine. But that ended up with a score of 1-1. And actually, I did watch the end of it now that I think about it. See, I was awake. I just was not really awake. I do remember this now.
I caught the coaches talk about it. I didn't see the match.
Okay, I did now. I remember it now. But I was not fully awake, as you can imagine. So, Mohamed Salah scored in the 42nd minute to take a 1-0 lead.
I take it back. I did see Salah's goal.
Okay, so you remember that. In the second half.
I forgot. Sorry, go ahead.
In the second half, Wayne Rooney scored in the 77th minute on a controversial penalty, Corey, to where it was pretty soft, especially for a derby match, especially for England. I don't know. Most of the people on NBC here said you would expect them to call that on the continent, but not in England. So whatever. There was some contact. The guy went down. They got a penalty. Rooney, a.k.a. Mr. Go, massive Rooney, great one, scores the goal. And then in the press conference afterwards, or not the press conference, but in his post-match comments, Jurgen Klopp, well, it was pretty funny. They portrayed him as what? Infuriated or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Which he really wasn't.
Klopp's furious response or something.
Yeah, so. They were like, wait and see, Klopp. And I was like, oh, man, is he going to be like breaking stuff and like cussing? No. He was pretty calm about it. But he basically owned the interviewer.
Yes, he did.
You need to look this up if you haven't seen it. So, Corey, would you like to describe some of the gems, some of the golden lines we heard from one heavy metal Klopp?
Well, the main one was basically sums up every modern coach's thought about the crap that you have to deal with, both from the message boards, Twitter, you know, some of the fans.
Interviewers.
Yeah, post-match interviewers, journalists at large, and just general.
Your wife.
Fans.
Your kids.
You know, just fans that are never happy no matter what. But yeah, so he basically said that, you know, because the question was posed, you made a change when you were up, you know, you took Salah off 1-0, you know, something about did you regret that move? And, you know, it was a wrong move, blah, blah, blah. And Klopp just basically, you know, his paraphrase response, like I said, it was freaking gold to me because basically I have to make decisions before I know they're right, you know, implying that, you know, of course you don't know the right answer in the moment. So you just got to go on what you feel is best, but you get to make your opinion after you know I'm wrong, which is basically the media in a nutshell, because regardless of what happens, you even get journalists now where, I mean, you get people who will write what I call the what if argument, where, or the what if article, where even in a win, they start questioning decisions just because, again, everybody plays that. Jesus, I can't think of the name. What's the schmuck on used to be on ESPN that bitches and moans at everything?
Well, that's like half
Skip
of
Bayless.
It.
Skip Bayless. So, you know, everybody, because everybody.
He's on Fox now, which is shocking, I know.
Right. But just saying that's, you know, it's that shtick he started where you just question things no matter what, and you take the contrarian position just to take the contrarian position, not because it's actually astute. Klopp just basically, in not so many words, basically told the guy, you know, shut the hell up because you get to make an opinion on a decision after you know the facts, you know, secondhand, or you know, after they happen. So of course, it's going to make it look like you asked the right question. And basically, that's why y'all are journalists, because y'all don't have the courage to put yourselves on the line, or, you know, to put your opinions on the line where it actually matters. You just write your opinion after the fact, and then you get to act like you're smarter than everybody else because you're making your opinions when you already know the facts, when in the heat of the moment of competition, you don't know what the correct answer is.
Yeah, there was that. And then the big thing that stood out to me was the interviewer basically trying to get Klopp to say, to criticize the referee, right?
Yeah.
Over the penalty decision. And I mean, they were going back and forth. That was a good, I don't know, it seemed like 5 minutes to me.
Oh yeah. Yes. Yeah. That was a good one. My opinion doesn't matter because it's not going to, well, yeah, because they argued about the opinion for about a minute.
Yeah.
And he says, well, my opinion doesn't matter. And the journalist goes, well, of course your opinion matters. You're the manager. And it's like, and Klopp just shoots back, no, it doesn't, because whether I think it was a good decision or a bad decision, it's not going to change it. So what does it matter? And you could tell the journalist was getting a little squirmy because, again, Klopp wasn't falling for that, you know, for the bait that most journalists try to bait people into so they can get some sound bite and twist it and make manager squirm.
But he was enraged. These people haven't seen enraged.
Yeah, that's
what would they do if they had to come over here? Like if they had to deal with, like, right, like Pat Riley, you mentioned earlier, they had to deal with someone like that after a game like that. More than they had to deal with Billy Martin, Nick Saban, yeah, or Belichick,
yeah, Nick Saban on the sideline, or you know, Mike Gundy in a press conference,
yeah, if they think that's, you know, irritated and raging, raging Klopp, yeah, well, like
they'd want to lock me up if that was raging, they would want to lock me up. When they see me legitimately angry.
Or hate speech, probably, too.
Oh, well, yeah, because, you know, I say things to people's face. Whatever.
Whatevs is right. All right, last thing.
But that's England for you. They get the poke, and then they get the poke and provoke, and then when people get all ragey on them, they retreat to their little island.
Ragey. I like it. Hashtag ragey.
And then they blame everybody else for why the world's crazy.
All right, here we go. Last thing that we'll talk about here. And why don't they show this? This makes no sense. All right, Crystal Palace and Bournemouth play to a 2-2 draw.
The English media, let me clear that last one up. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. And why are they not – see, I don't know why they're showing a missed penalty here. But so, late in the death of the game, and I don't know why it's not – why are they not – why would you not show in the match report a missed penalty? That makes no sense.
The guy that wrote it must be a Crystal Palace supporter.
I don't know. Hold on here.
Which game? Wait.
Oh, it's right here. Here we go. So they have it. Yeah, I'm talking about the Palace-Bournemouth match. So in the 92nd minute – Palace missed a penalty, and Christian Benteke took the ball off of Luka Majulovic after Majulovic did score a penalty in the first half, in the 41st minute. Now, after the match, and we've talked about this before, and I don't know how this happens, Corey, in this day and age, they asked Hodgson, Roy Hodgson, you know, the manager who took over, why was Benteke taking the penalty? And he said, I don't know. Well, you're the manager. What do you mean you don't know? He took the ball off him. How does this happen? Like, does that happen in any other sport? It'd be like about the only thing I could think of, Corey, like American sport-wise, would be like a technical foul, right?
Mm-hmm.
You would never give the technical foul to your – you would never have, like, your big 7-foot
– yeah, let Shaq shoot it.
Yeah, exactly.
Or now, Chris Dudley missed a 32% free throw shooter.
Sure. And I know that's a little on the extreme, of course, right? But at the same time, Benteke hadn't scored a goal since, I think they said, April? And so I understand that, hey, to him, it's an easy chance, hey, I want to score a goal, get off the schneid. But at the same time, you got to do what's best for the team, what's best for the club. And what's for best for the club has not been Diteke scoring a goal. It'd be to win the game and have the guy who just slotted a penalty in, who Hodgson admitted was the number one designated penalty taker. So basically, yeah, they lost the game because Benteke took the ball off against manager orders from the number one designated penalty taker.
Yeah, because manager aside, where the hell's the captain?
Well, there's that too.
Why do you not I mean, that's how the point. The point of the captain is to sort shit like that out.
So I don't know how these things work. I've never played at a club level to where these things happen. But if you have, please let us know at Two Daft Yanks on Twitter why this happens. Has it happened to you? Has, you know, were you the number one penalty taker and someone took the ball off your foot? Or have you been the jerk on the other way around and taken the ball away? How does this happen? It's crazy. I think it's nuts because it's a big deal, especially in stoppage time in a 2-2 game when you're battling for to get out of relegation.
Yeah. I mean,
and you're going to let egos get in the way?
Yeah, because again, like you said, I can understand the logic in Benteke because he's a striker.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, as a striker, obviously that's your job is to finish, so it would seemingly be a logical move, but if you're not the main penalty taker, then why are – because like I said, you're technically not just breaking manager orders. Like I said, you're technically breaking the captain or, you know, the chain of command with the captain because, like I said, the captain, even if Benteke says he wants to take it, the captain should step in and go, whoa, whoa, what are we doing here, you know?
Yeah, and – of course,
I'm pretty sure Benteke is not the captain.
And of course, I don't have any proof of this because it was just me watching the game. But when he's lined up, when he grabbed the ball off him and was about to take it, I was like, he's totally going to miss. Especially when they said, oh, he hasn't scored since April. I go, he's got no confidence. And he did. It was one of the worst penalties I've ever seen. It was terrible. I don't know if you've seen it. It was pretty bad. It was a weak shot right down the middle at perfect height to get saved. Had no power.
Well, it's funny you say it's down the middle. That's what I was just about to say, because there again, a guy who hasn't scored from April, I'm thinking he's going to fucking blast it down the middle because he just wants to make good contact because, like you said, yeah, he's low in confidence.
Exactly.
So he wants to make good contact. It's probably going down the middle. See, it's not freaking rocket.
But he did, but he went down the middle and he went like softly. Like I think it was like the softest penalty kick I've ever seen.
It was so great. He didn't blast it and he wasn't courageous enough to do a Panenka.
Exactly. Maybe he was caught in two minds. Yeah, he was caught in two minds, power or Panenka.
Yeah.
And he came up with the Benteke.
Yeah, no Golka. Yeah, like I said, I don't – again, when there's millions of dollars at stake, I don't understand why there's not stricter rules on these things. Again, you know, that's
– yeah, here we go. For the people at Football Manager who are, you know, gone off the rails – and making everything so lifelike, they should do that now. You know, you set your penalty order in Football Manager. Well, from time to time, they should have, you know, like the sixth guy just randomly take a kick, wrestle the ball off your number one to make it more realistic.
Yeah. You or just like everything else, everybody wants to listen to Twitter. Let Twitter just pick the damn
Twitter polls.
Taker, yeah.
I like that. No, I've joked about that before, right? To where Twitter FC, where Twitter decides the lineups, they decide the subs, they decide the formation. I think it'd be a great social experiment.
Yeah, just as long as fans had the courage to unfollow the team, you know, when things go tits up, which, like I said, most fans don't because that's why they're sitting in the stands.
Yeah.
Your opinions aren't held to the same standards.
That's right. The old adage is if you listen to the fans, well, sooner or later, you'll be sitting with them.
Yep.
So, all right, that's all I had planned. Do you have anything you'd like to get off your chest before we get out of here for this week, for this episode? Don't be too loud, though. You'll make Mourinho mad.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, keep it soft. Whisper it.
Yeah, well, maybe that's what I'll we'll have to do an NPR version of the pod.
Yeah.
For hello, people like Mourinho who maybe disturbed by loud noises. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have anything other than just talking about that. I did have to laugh. I couldn't catch all the words, but I'm pretty sure the City fans were doing something along the lines of, "We are your noisy neighbors. We are your noisy neighbors," chant after they scored that second goal, I think.
Yeah.
So, So actually, that reminds me, that must have been when I must have woke up before that, because I vaguely remember that now. So anyway, so that's all I got. It was just kind of funny that Man U kind of got pushed around in Old Trafford and then bitched and moaned, and then City basically played the role of pantomime villain to a T, because like I said, they played the tiki-taka style, but you know, they kind of, I don't want to say they kicked them around, but, you know, they were up for it. Because like I said, when David Silva's putting in crunching tackles 70 minutes in, you know, it's like, oh, this is getting pretty good. I was hoping, you know, like when there was that coming together, and actually it was that sequence afterwards, and Herrera was doing his rah, 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 rah.
Yeah.
I was hoping, you know, a fracas would kick off there, but, you know, unfortunately, they had to do it in the tunnel. So.
Yeah, Man United wasn't man enough to do it on the
pitch.
Think
of the children and do it in the tunnel so they can't see. And
that's right. You got to be role model.
The children's. Yeah, you're role model while you're breaking people's legs.
So, all right. So, remember, we got a double helping of Premier League action this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Saturday, Sunday, of course. So, enjoy all the matches, and we'll be back at some point this week, I'm sure.
Yes, and in the festive fixtures are right around the corner. Boxing Day, the new holiday.
Yeah, that's right. NBC was already advertising. It was something like 40 matches. And
although we play, like, they moved our freaking game off of Boxing Day this year, which kind of aggravating.
Yeah, 40 matches in 14 days. Does that sound right? Something like that.
Yes, it was in that neighborhood.
It's going to be crazy. Yeah, they're doing a lot of crazy stuff because of safety, I guess. I don't know. Listen to this. We'll end the show on this. Your match got moved off Boxing Day, which I feel for you, because that's happened to us. It sucks because you want to – Boxing Day is a big deal to me anyway.
Well, yeah, it's the one day where I try to watch basically all the matches at some point. And like I said, not having them all together.
Yeah, it's a downer.
On the same day is kind of annoying because, again, yeah. they're ruining my traditions.
Yeah. So they've stretched it out. So it may be good.
I want to sue somebody.
There might be games every day that week. So, that week after Christmas might be outstanding. But, yeah, Spurs were supposed to play, I think, the 31st, right, against West Ham. I do believe we've already played them there. So it would be in that Wembley. And because of safety and because of transportation concerns, it being the 31st, they moved our match because they couldn't guarantee that fans would be able to safely get to and from the stadium or some garbage. I don't know. So they moved our match to the 4th of January from the 31st of December, which is bad too, because then that puts it closer to, I do believe, the 6th and the 7th are the FA Cup fixtures. Yeah. So, I mean, it gives us a little break, but then it congests things a little bit more. So, but, you know, they're always doing moving matches because of safety, but they never – it's funny how they never – when TV wants things moved, they do it. So I think maybe TV had more to do with it than safety.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
But then they say, oh, it's a safety issue, just so people won't question it. I don't know.
Well, yeah, it's like when you want to pass a shitty tax, you lump it on to an education bill, and that way when you don't vote for it, oh, you hate the children, so we got to pass this, because if not, you're going to hate the children.
Yeah, so we'll be back the next time. We'll break down some of the key fixtures during this festive season, which to me is better than Christmas itself. I don't really care about Christmas anymore, but I do care about the footy on Boxing Day and around New Year's.
Yes. Yeah, so just
leave Christmas, me alone and let me watch my footy.
Yeah, Christmas is like I'm at the age where Christmas is a second Thanksgiving for me. So,
yeah, instead of turkey, you're having ham or something, right? Or a lamb. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We just have a big meal rather than the gift exchange crap anymore.
Yeah.
So, like I said, we still have Christmas. We just don't do the commercial BS. We just, like I said, we just basically have a second Thanksgiving.
There we go. I like it. Second Thanksgiving. Let's trademark that.
Yeah, because, you know, the Cajun's going to be down for anything with food involved. So
that's right. So, all right, boys and girls.
In fact, we should have a Thanksgiving every month.
Sure. Why not?
It's up to me.
The second Thursday in every month.
Yeah, there you go. I'm going to run for president next time. That's going to be my platform.
Yeah, second Thursday in every
month. Abolish everything except Thanksgiving in every month.
Awesome. I think you'd win.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Nuclear war in 2 years, so Thanksgiving every month, and we'll just eat our way into the apocalypse.
There we go. So, all right, boys and girls, thank you for listening to this episode of the Two Daft Yanks podcast, and thank you to the United States Soccer Federation board member who apparently listened to our last pod and also retweeted it. And we're sorry that when Gulati's puppet gets reelected, you're going to be, secretly booted out of the circle. But we thank the solidarity, and I know, Corey, you have a line you want to end the show on for this good soul.
Yeah, well, it's better to die on your feet than live on your knees. So thanks for retweeting us. It'll probably get you canned for, siding with the Euro snobs and the people who want real change in the game in this country, or actually to go back to the ethnic tradition rather than – so I'm not even sure if it's real change, but just go with the frickin' grassroots. So, yeah, live on your – damn it, die on your feet rather than live on your knees. So thank you, sir or madam, whoever retweeted us.
All right, boys and girls, thank you very much. We'll be back soon. We'll see you then.
This has been the Two Daft Yanks podcast. If you like the show, be sure to find the Yanks at twodaftyanks.com or at Two Daft Yanks on Twitter. There you can stay up to date on all the Two Daft Yanks action by subscribing to the show.